Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:49 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is December 12th, and I apologize for the somewhat later than normal recording. Mrs. Tracy and I were availing of some late night shopping for Santa Claus gifts for our daughters. In the markets today, the Federal Reserve has moved from Operation Twist into committing itself to additional purchases of treasuries on a monthly basis until they get the inflation that they are so avidly seeking. In other words, the Fed has committed itself to an inflationary policy, and it's going to keep doing it until it gets it. Now, one might think that that is nothing new, and the one would be correct, but what it does put into sharp focus is the fact that the economy is still, while on a growth footing, that growth is still below par on many fronts. And while unemployment data has been improving, it hasn't improved enough to quell fears at the Fed. And that means that the liquidity that the market has become addicted to over the last 3 and 4 years is still likely to remain very much in the system. And that means that the government-sponsored bull market in bonds is likely to remain a feature, and that they're not going to allow yields to rise by very much. But even so, U.S. Treasuries today were down by almost a full point, and they've extended their decline over the last 3 or 4 days. They're down to 148 right now, and this continues to look like a pullback towards the 200-day moving average. And it's a similar story across most of those government bonds where we have had weakness in the last 3 or 4 days. And in the stock markets, China continues to look like it has bottomed. And we're seeing that related instruments are also starting to perform and to move to positions of outperformance. And the Hang Seng hit a new high for the year in here today, and it's back above 22,500. The ASX finished off its peak in here today, but it's had a very good performance in the last couple of weeks. And while a little bit overbought in the very short term, and there is room for some consolidation here, it would really need to sustain the move below the 200-day moving average to really question potential for additional upside. And the Aussie dollar was up to 105.5 in here today. The New Zealand dollar is outperforming, and it's breaking upwards, and not least against the yen. And the yen was weak, it actually broke down against the US dollar in here today, and it's the dollar now is above 83 yen. It's at 83.19. The Nikkei was stronger today by about 0.6%, but with the yen continuing to decline, that is likely to proved to be an additional spur for stock market speculation in Japan. From a foreign investor's perspective, the chances are that the stock market is going to rise faster than the yen declines, but the yen itself is likely to be probably the better vehicle to play the probably the most avid policy initiatives that are likely to come in order to really pursue inflation. Whereas just about every central bank at present is courting inflation, the Bank of Japan has been a stalwart in being rather reticent in terms of its quantitative easing. And there's an election due pretty soon, and the head of the Bank of Japan is going to be replaced in the first quarter of next year. And subsequent to that, we're likely to see really quite an acceleration in terms of quantitative easing for Japan, and that does appear to be what people are starting to now price into the market. The uncertainty that presaged the leadership change in China has given way now to a little bit more of a positive attitude, not least because Xi Jinping made his first visit to Shenzhen, which is really the bastion of capitalism in China. And the fact that his family lived there and that was the first place he visited is very symbolic. for the victory of the progressives in this election battle. And the fact that he, in his acceptance speech, didn't talk about loyalty to the party, but rather asked for people to set aside their political differences, roll up their sleeves and get down to work, is very heartening indeed. It's certainly being viewed from that perspective by the stock market, and we've had a powerful rally over the last week. And we're now starting to get back to the progression of lower rally highs. And that progression of lower rally highs has been such a hallmark of the decline over the last 2 and 3 years that we won't really be able to sit back with really a great deal of comfort until it's been broken. So how the market performs in the next couple of weeks is likely to be really very interesting indeed. Because if we do start to see it take out that progression of lower rally highs, then this is a cheap market. And there are a number of funds relating to the Chinese market, and particularly closed-end funds, are trading at considerable discounts to NAV. And it's been an unloved market for 3 years. And one, I remember back in 2005, when the Chinese market had been the worst performing market for 3 years on the trot. And it had deteriorated to such an extent that the government came out and said that they were willing to support it, that they weren't going to allow the market to deteriorate any further. And that was the beginning of an impressive advance, which really ended in a mania in 2007 and 2008. Well, the government is unlikely to draw that kind of line under the stock market right now. But the fact that it has moved to allow insurance companies to own more of the banks, and the fact that the banking sector has moved to a position of outperformance, and one can see that on the Global X China Financials ETF, which is breaking out to new 4 and 5 month highs in here, it does suggest that the banking sector is beginning to attract interest. And the performance of banking sectors, from our perspective, has long been something that we look at, because banks thrive on liquidity as liquidity providers. And you can't really have a bull market unless the banks actually participate. So the fact that the financial sector is looking somewhat healthier in here is an additional sign that this market is turning. And this could be a very powerful move indeed, given the fact that we're coming off such very depressed levels. And if China is turning, then Hong Kong should do well, and Taiwan should do well, and the commodity producers should do well. We've seen that there's been a powerful rally in the industrial metals, and Australia's currency and New Zealand's currencies are becoming attractive once more. And the Australian stock market, with such a high number of very high yield companies, which has been relatively moribund for much of the last 2 and 3 years, is likely to start to attract foreign investor interest once more. When we look at the commodity complex, gold gave up much of its advance in here today and finished out the day at 1711. But silver finished up 76 cents and rallied into the close. And palladium finished up on the day and is back above $700. And that $700 area has been an area of resistance now for almost a year. And if we start to see palladium pushing and holding above this level, well then, that would be a clear demonstration that not only have we got demand dominance in the short term, but that would be a reassertion of the medium-term bullish trend. And we could see significantly higher levels following such an important breakout. And platinum up $6.04 in here today and continues to appreciate. So even though gold has been a little bit slower to move, we are seeing that the other precious metals are attracting interest. And nothing has really happened to question the hypothesis that gold is in the accumulation phase of this consolidation, and that reactions are some of the better buying opportunities in such a scenario. and we're likely to see gold pushing above $1,800 and even $1,900 and probably $2,000 sometime next year. Elsewhere in the commodity complex, the agriculturals have been really quite volatile, and wheat now is down to almost 800 cents. And this has been quite a steep decline in the last couple of days. And rough rice has also been really quite volatile, but has been pulling back. And natural gas is back to $3.38. So it has now broken its progression of higher reaction lows. And it encountered, that was following a doubling of the price. And it encountered resistance in the region of $4, and just below it, in fact. But now it's broken its progression of higher reaction lows, and a clear upward dynamic will be required to check the decline. Oil today was stronger by 98 cents on WTI. It's up to $86.77. It would really need to do substantially better than that to really check the medium-term slide and downward bias that has been evident now for a number of months. So when we take a step back and we look at where the market is going, we've had a very good rally in the last 2 and 3 weeks, and short-term overbought conditions are evident. And particularly in Europe, where we've seen a number of markets pushing onto new highs for the year, then they have room now to consolidate in the region of their peaks. And whereas the last 4 and 5 months have been characterized by a high degree of anxiety about what was going to happen in China, what's going to happen in India, in Japan, in Europe, and most recently with the fiscal cliff. But of all those concerns, the fiscal cliff is really the one that has yet to be given some clarity, or we've to see some clarity on. And tough negotiations are still ongoing. And Mr. Boehner said today that there's still big differences. But it would be very rash if they don't come to some form of agreement. And even if they don't, then the chances are that some form of agreement will be come to in the first quarter of next year. So even though that remains a very uncertain environment and it has the potential to cause some additional volatility, what we're seeing is that a great deal of the uncertainty that people have been very worried about has dissipated. And that would suggest that stock markets can go higher from here, despite the fact that we have the potential for some consolidation in the very short term. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.